This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Jeffrey Kirby of Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church of Indian Land, South Carolina.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it might be helpful for us first to understand exactly what the Immaculate Conception is. So oftentimes even Catholics could be confused. In fact, if you were to ask the majority of Catholics, what is the Immaculate Conception? They would say, well, that's when Mary conceived Jesus in her womb. And that's not accurate. The Immaculate Conception is actually when Mary was conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. So first we have to clarify the feast day. What can we learn from this feast day? The powerful lesson that God's providence prepares and forms us for everything that he will ask. Imagine from the very moment of her conception, God was molding and shaping and fashioning Mary of Nazareth with the grace necessary in order to fulfill her vocation to be the mother of God, his first disciple, and mother of the church. That should fill us with, again, great consolation and hope that whatever the Lord is asking of us, whatever suffering he's permitted, he has provided the grace necessary from the moment of our conception. As the Lord said to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever hardships we might carry, whatever joys we might be celebrating, God has prepared us and has given us the graces we need in order to do those missions, to bear that suffering well. And again, we turn to Our Lady to see that beautiful plan played out. Our Lady didn't have an easy life. It was difficult, filled with tension, uncertainty, turbulence. She saw her own son brutally tortured, mocked, crucified. Then she saw him gloriously rise. And then she was invited into the upper room with the 12 apostles in order to receive the Holy Spirit with the 12. She did not receive the Holy Spirit for priesthood. She received the Holy Spirit for her vocation, mother of the church. And what do we see in the ministry of Our Lady? She's constantly visiting us. Well, I would imagine the frequent flyer miles she must have, huh? She's always appearing. Guadalupe, Fatima, Lourdes, Knock, Akita, Japan. She's constantly appearing. What is her constant message to us? Love my son. Trust my son. Pray. Fast. Go to confession. Receive Holy Communion worthily. Our Lady is constantly fulfilling her vocation and calling us, the children of God, to be faithful to our vocations, to love God, and to serve the Lord Jesus well. That's her vocation. And look at all that God has been able to do by the yes of one woman, but the constant, unconditional, eternal yes to whatever he asks of her. Now, if God can do that through one believer, imagine what he can do through a community of believers. In fact, the Lord himself tells us in his public ministry, if you think that I have accomplished great things, you have seen nothing, for my disciples will accomplish far greater things. And that promises to us. We are his disciples. We are called to do far greater things than even the Lord accomplished during his earthly ministry. And we are called to be inspired by that first disciple, Mary of Nazareth, in her own discipleship, to constantly be saying yes to whatever he might ask, to forgive our enemies, to serve the poor, to go the extra mile in selfless service, to exercise virtue, even when those around us are not. And the list goes on of the call that we have to follow the most excellent way of love of the Lord Jesus. And we know that, dear friends, because we are here because we have said yes. And that one yes becomes 100 yeses every day. Yes to patience, yes to kindness, yes to the extra mile. We know that because we have followed this path, and we seek the grace in order to continue to follow it faithfully. And that's why we have come to this altar in order to honor that first disciple, to learn from her so that we can imitate her. And hasn't this community done that well? You know, this entire work of Our Lady of Grace began in the summer of 2007 during a parish picnic party at a parish in Rock Hill where a gentleman asked the pastor there, Father, why can't we have Mass in Indian land? And the pastor said, why don't we have Mass in Indian land? He said, let's make the arrangements. The first Catholic Mass in this area was actually at the local Lutheran church, Beulah Lutheran Church. They have a great outreach to the poor, and they invited the Catholic community to use their place of worship. But it only happened once, because the massive outpouring of Catholics in this area overwhelmed the sanctuary of that small church. So our community had to move across the street to a local public school. But eventually there were so many conflicts with scheduling that the community had to find a new home. And that was the local recreation center. Every time you pass the Indian Land Recreation Center, I hope that you say a small prayer of thanksgiving. Because, dear friends, for 8 years, that was the home of Our Lady of Grace community. That was the home of a community of tenacious believers who believed, hoped, and sacrificed that one day there would be a Catholic church in Indian Land. And they pulled it off. In fact, can I invite any of our early founders who were here during the Recreation Day years to please stand? We thank you. And that work culminated on August 15, 2016, when Bishop Robert Guillamone, a successor of the apostles and the local bishop of this area, consecrated this house, this building, into a church. You can see the early pictures where the bishop anointed the walls, consecrated the altar, and prepared for this space to be a sacred place, a sanctuary, a place of prayer and worship, a place of repose for weary souls. This now became a house of worship, but it was only a house of worship. We weren't a parish yet, because we realized on September 1st, when I arrived as the administrator, that we were broke, okay? We didn't have any money. We couldn't make our payments. They threatened to turn off our lights. I had to go to the local Founders Credit Union and beg for a credit line that we didn't deserve. But then the young families started coming. And the young families came with great zeal and the sacrificial spirit. And united with our founders as one community, we stabilized ourselves so that on December 8th, 2016, we were no longer just a house of worship. We became a formal parish of the Roman Catholic Church, a huge accomplishment for such simple beginnings. And look at us in 4 years. Look at what God has done through us because we have said yes. Oftentimes when I reflect on the work of Our Lady of Grace, and this is our work, when I reflect upon the work of our founders and our young families and the united community as one in Christ, I myself am amazed. As St. Paul would say, I am filled with gratitude as I see the work that has been done through you. Because how is it that such a small community has accomplished so much? How is it that a community of at one point only 300 families, now 1,000, as some would say, a small parish off a highway in the backwoods of the Carolinas? They just don't know us, right? How is it that we've been able to do so much? We are the largest source of charity in Lancaster County. We outbeat larger houses of worship. Local county officials have said to me on several occasions, it is clear that the Catholic Church loves Lancaster County. Because we understand as Christians, our task is not simply to build a house of worship. It's not simply to have programs for ourselves. Yes, we need holy formation. Yes, we need Christian formation. Yes, absolutely. But we understand that our task is to be salt, light, and leaven. And from the very beginning, when God has blessed us with this building, we use this not as a maintenance shop, but as a mission post. And we launched from this church a massive outreach to the local prisons, to those in need who needed food. Our collections that were running 4 times a year provided diapers and food and school supplies and necessary hygiene items to the vast majority of our neighbors. We understood here at Our Lady of Grace that God called us here because 63% of our neighbors live under the national poverty line. And we didn't simply sit here and pat ourselves on the back or sit on our laurels and think that the work had been done. We again used this as a mission post and understood that God placed us here in order to fulfill that vocation and to be a consolation to those who struggle, a source of hope who are in despair, and a witness to hope and faith to those who have lost their way. This is why God has been able to bless us, constantly blessing us. Oftentimes people will call, priest friends will call me and they'll say, "What is going on at your parish? So I thought you were just a country pastor." Yeah. Looks can be deceiving, folks, right? We have major figures in our faith. Uju Ekeojo, one of the leading civil rights activists in the world, a voice for the unborn, would ask to come to Our Lady of Grace in Indian Land, South Carolina. She usually speaks at parliaments and congresses and United Nations assemblies. She asked to come here. Ambassador Alan Keyes visited here and said to me later, "If I lived in this area, this would be my parish." Dr. Scott Hahn, when he visited, and he and I were walking together, he said, "This reminded me of my first pastorate. I feel mission here at this parish." And the list goes on of how many people have heard of us and how many people want to visit us. I was particularly looking forward to seeing the daughter of St. Gianna. You know, she was going to visit us in September because she heard that country parish off the highway of the Carolinas had a statue of her mother, and she wanted to come visit us. Dear friends, the list goes on and on when people hear about Our Lady of Grace. And who are we? As Elizabeth said to our Lady, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Who are we? We are the hands and the feet of the living Christ. We are a community that understands our task to say yes and to continue the work of the Lord. And we have sought to do so selflessly. Our tithe, which very few parishes do, to their spiritual detriment, is untouchable. Even last year, when we had to make hard sacrifices, let beloved staff members go, we would not stop our tithe. Because the work of God and the service to the poor are first. That is what we are, who we are as Team Grace. And this is why God's been able to bless us. Because we have realized that we are nothing, but we can be all things through the grace of God. We understand that when we send ourselves and place ourselves in the hands of God, not seeking any other security other than His grace, that He can bless us. St. Faustina wrote in her diary, "God is so desperate because so many people tell God how to be God, that when He finds a soul that's willing to ask Him what He wants, God will raise that person to be a great saint, even though they are only a humble soul." Or Padre Pio, whose favorite title of Our Lady was Our Lady of Grace, because he said that title says it all. Grace is the life of God within us, and Our Lady of Grace is the highest of all titles. And that's our patrons. That's who we turn to. In the midst of our struggles to say yes, in your own discipleship, in your homes, here at our parish, in our outreach, as we seek in all things to say yes to Christ, we turn to Mary, Our Lady of Grace. And we ask that she continue to teach us and mold us and correct us and guide us so that we can continue to fulfill our mission, that we might try to seek to serve Christ as well as she did, to love Him as well as she did. And that's our task. So when the Bishop of Charleston told me we're going to raise the mission to a parish, I thought, yes. Because that was a hard work to get to prove to our bishop that we could financially do it. And then when he said, "And I've decided to name your patronal feast the Immaculate Conception," I thought, we're in good hands. We're in good hands. We can stop worrying. because this is going to be a great work. And hasn't it been? And it's only been 4 years. Dear friends, I am amazed and humbled and excited when I look at what the future has and what God will continue to accomplish through us. That a friend will arrive unexpectedly, not a member of our community, and say the work that you do needs support. And so I will buy 56 acres so that this community can thrive. And a property that now is estimated over $2 million. He said, just give me $850,000 and I'll turn around and give you $100,000 back. And that's what we're working for. Do you realize, dear friends, we have $600,000? How close we are to buying that property that we now affectionately call Catholic land. And we have that land, 53 acres of which can be used. Imagine what God's going to do. That he will raise up an elementary school, a social outreach center, a source of consolation to families, to those who are taking care of their elderly spouses or family members. The work that God is going to ask us to do. Whenever I think about the work that we're doing here, and especially as this year has been hard during the pandemic, and I realize that God has prepared us spiritually and evangelically, and he continues to mold our heart during this year. Because, dear friends, I think this is going to move fast. I think we're going to find Catholic land become a reality in the spring. And with that $100,000 gift, we're able to turn around immediately and set that master plan in action and build our new columbarium right on that beautiful lake. And then we're going to figure out as a community, we're going to pray to the Holy Spirit, what's next? The county is biting at our ear saying, want to be an early childhood development center. There's only two in the county and they're not very good. We need a strong, good one. And we'd love a faith-based young early childhood institution, daycare. We'll figure that out. But whatever it is, whatever the Lord asks of us, guess what, Team Grace? We're going to do it, right? You know, we're going to do it. We're going to accomplish great things. And I want you to share that excitement. I want you to rejoice over the 4 years, not on our own accomplishments, they are not ours, to accomplish, but to rejoice in the accomplishments of God's grace. And I want you to feel the excitement at what is in the future for us. Because if God can bless us so much within 4 years, what will our parish look like in 10 or 15? When I imagine what we originally just almost affectionately, almost comically called Catholic land, when I realized maybe the Holy Spirit wasn't joking when we called it that, and the realization that one day that could actually be a vibrant, thriving, small community of education, of social outreach, of fellowship, of worship. I myself am amazed. It's like, no, Holy Spirit, really. To realize that in terms of my own priesthood, that would be my life's work. That would be my life's work. Early on, I think the rumors have all died now. I beat him to death. They said, oh, no, he's just gone for a couple of years and then he's going to be moved. That's not true. And I was named a canonical pastor, which means the bishop cannot move me without my permission. It's the only right I have as a pastor, right? And I tell you, Team Graves, the bishop has called, and I have already said no. And if he calls again, I will say no. My work is here. Our work is to continue to accomplish all that the Holy Spirit asks of us. We are the handmaids of the Lord. We are the servants of the Lord. Our task is to say yes to whatever he asks of us and to accomplish it. And I look forward to next year when we celebrate the 5th anniversary. And in 6 years, we celebrate the 10th anniversary. And the 15th and the 20th. And then when some of you are around in order to bury the old pastor, Father Kirby, it's about time he went to heaven. Some of you will say, we hope he went to heaven. But I'm very excited about the work that God has already done, the work that we're going to be able to do together. As we continue this Mass, I ask you to pray for our community at this altar. Intercede to the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Ask Our Lady to pray for us. Ask that God will continue to bless us. And more importantly, even as we struggle through this pandemic and there's so much hardship and so much difficulty and so much sorrow and confusion, that in the midst of that we claim our inheritance as children of the resurrection. And we hold on to that peace and that hope that we keep saying yes, even in the midst of difficulty, to whatever the Holy Spirit asks of us. We offer this Mass for the blessing upon our community. We offer this Mass in gratitude for all that God has already done through Our Lady of Grace.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Jeffrey Kirby of Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church of Indian Land, South Carolina, on Carolina Catholic Radio, AM 1270 Charlotte, also streaming online at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app.